Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Don Kellen coming to you once again. And we're coming to you from South Central Washington State. And it's great to be with you. It's January. It's a new year. Happy New Year to everybody. May it be fully blessed. And to be fully blessed, you need to be right with your Creator. I need to be right with my Creator. And we are going to be in the book of Romans in the New Testament. And we've just come out of chapter 4 and finished that last week. And it taught us how to be right with God and to get right with our Creator. And boy, that was that's great news. That's fantastic news. And in fact, we want to continue on in chapter 6 today. I mean 5. But you know, this matter of faith, it says in the Bible, it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, let's before we get into lots of other things in the book of Romans, let's find out more about faith, how lots of people ended up pleasing God and accomplishing great things in their lives and for the kingdom of God by faith. So we're in the book of Romans, and we've just covered, we started towards the end of chapter 3, studying about faith in verses about 21, chapter 3, 21 forward, and through all the book of chapter 4, and then at the very beginning of chapter 5, it just continues right on. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, and when it talks about being justified, that means that we have right standing with God, declared righteous. We're declared righteous by God. And he already says there's none in the Bible, there's none righteous, no, not one. But all of a sudden, even though we are not righteous, we can't come before God, we can't do anything, but he says that if we believe in him, that he exists, and that if we trust in him, and we call upon him and ask for his salvation, then we can. And what is that salvation? Is it says there's only one work in the Word of God that says that there's only one work that is absolutely necessary, and there isn't any other. What is that one work? That one work, according to John, the apostle, was that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where we are going today, is not only just this little bit of in Romans, but we are also going to jump ahead and go into one chapter of the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, we find a chapter called the faith chapter. And so we've been reading about faith and how all of a sudden there's this big blockade between us and God. In chapter 3, verses 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, how in the world, if we've all fallen short of the glory of God, can we get past there? Well, in chapter 6, verse 23, also the same verse, both 23 in both, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have this precious promise here, is that it looks like what we see is that there's nobody counted righteous, not anybody, that everybody has sinned. And everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. And it is sin separates us from God. It says he cannot look on sin. But then we see this, that the wages of what we've done, this sin, is death. Oh, my goodness. That is the worst news there is. But the thing is, then he says, but that when God says, but that negates the former. Wow. It says we've all sinned and we've all earned wages of sin, and it demands death. But, and he, it's the most important but probably in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that makes all this horrific things go away. And we see that then what happens, what pleases God. It talks about in chapter 4 that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And we go on from there, and then it talks more and more about faith throughout the chapter. And believing God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. You see, it's this part that's spoken. It's not just believing something. It has to come out of the mouth. It has to be spoken. It has to be declared. Just like God, when we believe that in God and believe in his Son, he declares, in other words, he speaks it out of his mouth, that we are righteous and we are holy and we are accounted worthy before him, not because of anything we did, but Jesus did a great exchange for you and for me. He was righteous, totally righteous, and he became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. In other words, he took our sin, and he was the only time in history that he was ever separated from his Father, was separated on the cross, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're quoting from the entire passage of chapter 22 in the book of Psalms, and so that was just an abbreviation right there, that declaration, but that was for you and for me. That was because God loved us and he didn't want us separated. And so the righteousness that was on his Son, he placed on all of those of us who believe in him, and all of our sin was placed on him. He paid for everybody's sin, but not everybody was counted righteous, because it comes back to us. We need to believe in God and trust in him, and when we do, then we are counted righteous, and those wages of sin, which is death, is then, he puts the big but in there, that is the greatest, most marvelous but of all times, and he declares openly in 6:23, but the gift of God, instead of these wages, instead of earning and receiving the wages of death and sin, we get the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we rejoice in that. And so we see here in chapter 5 at the beginning, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, praise God. We have peace with God. That is a marvelous thing. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, let's right now skip way forward into, this is the in the New Testament, book of Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. And it's the first one of that was written by Paul. Now, we go clear to the end of those written by Paul, and we go to the book of Hebrews, and we don't know for sure that that one was written by Hebrews. That's the, the apostle Paul. This is the one that, as far as book in the New Testament, that there isn't a total agreement. And there are many evidences that it was written by Paul or by Luke, who was with him, and that possibly that Luke wrote this, but it was certainly strongly under the influence, definitely, of the person of Paul, but its real author is the Holy Spirit. And that's because God wants to talk to us. And just before that, we want to go back just a couple verses before the beginning of chapter 11, and we want to go to verse 38 of chapter 10, and then proceed from there. It says, "Now the just, they shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or back to sin." We don't want to go there. We don't want to draw back. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Well, how does salvation come? Well, what happened? How did we come into this area of relationship with God? It was by believing. And by believing in God, just like Abraham, it was counted righteous. So here, it's the believing to the saving of the soul. Did you know that there is body, mind, and soul, and spirit, and they go together? They are interrelated, but the soul and the spirit go on. And beyond this physical body. Now, for those of us that have called upon God, the righteous one, and he has placed his righteousness on us, then we have what he declared was eternal life. Instead of the wages of sin and death and separation from God forever, he has declared his free gift of eternal life to you. And it's not something that we earn, but he has already given us the gift of faith that we can believe in him, and that we just take that, and it says every man, woman, and child, it's every person gets the gift of, I mean, as far as given a gift or a measure of faith. And he gave that to you and to me so that we might be saved, that we might use it to believe in him. So the just shall live by faith. So it's not just that we come to salvation, we come to life in God, but then we continue in faith. We are not of those who draw back. In other words, turn your back on the gift of God. We don't want to do that. We don't want to despise that great gift that he has given us. Now, the chapter 11 starts out, and let's listen to this. This is a great victory chapter about the as far as God's working in many people, and let's see what God has to say about faith and the number of people that he happens to mention to us, and things that abbreviated forms of what he has done. Actually, if you want to look at chapter 11 in a other way, it's our sort of a very abbreviated Old Testament, because it brings up a lot of people that were in the Old Testament and great and mighty things that God accomplished through them because they grabbed hold of believing in God. And it was accounted to them as righteousness, and therefore the Holy Spirit worked through them, and where they were able to, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, were able to do great and mighty things for God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of the things not seen. Okay, what is it saying there? This is, my goodness, this is one of the key verses in this whole book. It says that faith is substance. Well, it's realization or confidence. It's something you think of. Substance also is something that you can grab hold of. And so it's faith is the realization or confidence of things hoped for. So it's not something like, I'm just a hoping for it. I'm just hoping that it'll come to pass, but whatever will be, will be. Well, that is not faith. No, if God says something and promises it, it's a sure foundation, and it is substance. It's no longer faith. Isn't just some ethereal thing. It is substance. It says it's the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence. Let's hear that. It's the evidence. Or confidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. We think, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, faith is the proof and the evidence that if you have faith, not hope, we're talking about faith, then we have the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, we see that in the beginning of the book of John, that we start reading about Jesus as the word of God, that everything that was made by the word of God, to and for and through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Well, this says right here and confirms that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Did you hear that? Let's apply that to science. This Big Bang, God didn't create everything out of nothing. No, there was substance there. But it says right here, they were created. Those things were seen, are not made of things which are visible. It's not made out of nothing. It had substance and power and light, and it's just another dimension, and God transformed it into the dimensions that we can see and understand, least limitedly, that we can see and understand. And he brought those things out of those things which were not visible into this visible realm for us. Even though they were plainly visible to him beforehand, but when he created this, he created it out of those things which were not seen or not visible. So we look to the Bible constantly. There's various statements throughout the Bible that are tell of science. And so this Big Bang, it didn't come from nothing. No, it was a creation out of stuff that already existed, but things that were not visible. Now in Hebrews, this whole series is on Romans, but we had been speaking for the last week and a half or two on faith. Now, we wanted to jump ahead because this is really the faith chapter, and so we want to tie this in to Romans before we continue on with Romans, because faith is so critical for all our understanding. It's the thing that... for God to say it is impossible to please me without faith, and he says that he gives every person a measure of faith, so that must mean that since he gave us a measure of faith, he expects us to use it in believing in him. And when he gives you a talent, which is like this faith that he's given to every one of you and to myself, then he expects us to use it. So how are we using our faith? Well, let's use it properly. Let's do it the way the Bible says, because it's he plainly says also, because I've given you this measure of faith in other scripture, that now he says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we've got to use what he has already given you. We have to grab a hold of what he's given you and then believe in him, and that he is a rewarder of those who was you and me who diligently seek him. So that's what we want. So here, we're reading here that faith, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch. Okay, who is Abel? If we look back, you see, this is a whole, we are going to begin running through the whole Old Testament in all these people he's going to start bringing up. Well, who was Abel? He was the second son of Adam and Eve. He was the one, the first person that was murdered by his brother Cain. And Abel, this is the first offering we see that man is giving up to God. And he is offered up to this to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Then it starts mentioning Enoch, and then it will mention Noah and other people. So what we're going to be doing right now, we're basically going through the Old Testament condensed into a chapter in the New Testament called chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. So he's by faith Abel did this. Now the second one is by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, did you hear that? That he pleased God? And we know that it's from further in Scripture that it's impossible to please God without faith. So, my goodness, that sounds like Enoch must have used faith a lot. And he must have really pleased God because he took that measure of faith that God gave him and he turned around and used it extensively and pleased God. And it's plain to see that that's the why that he did not see death. Now, we only have recorded in Scripture two people that did not see death, that did not die. Who are they? They are Enoch and then Elijah. And those are the only two people that God took up and took out of here alive to be with him. Okay, so let's see this again. Let's get this into our spirit. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had taken he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I would encourage you greatly to, if you have your Bible there, to mark this chapter and verse. We want you to mark chapter 11, verse 1, and then this is verse 6. Verse 1, it said what faith was. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this, chapter 11, verse 6, says, without faith it is impossible to please him. That's pleasing God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Did you hear that? He had fear. Well, I thought fear wasn't of God. Well, it's not. But you see, any type of fear in the Bible, it is told us we're not supposed to do except for fearing God. We're supposed to have this healthy respect of God, that we love him, and yet there's this godly awe or respect or fear of him because he is a person that he is the person that is true to his word. And so if there's blessings or promises in the Bible, wonderful, because he is going to fulfill those. But part of those promises are judgment, and the majority are for blessing. Well, we want to get under the blessing part But we want to be aware that there is the negative side too. That if we refuse and we keep exalting ourselves above God Almighty, that our way is better, that we create a God in our own image. You see, that's the rage today. What is the rage today? Is that, well, I believe the God that I believe in, or that the one that I've made up for myself, or that he is good and loving and he'd never do anything bad, or you create a God in your own image by what you believe rather than the Word of God. Well, God, there's a problem there. That's the one of the Ten Commandments. I think it's the second, that you shall have no other gods before me. And the first and the second sort of combined it together, that you're not supposed to have a God before God. And when you create one, when you say, this is what I believe God is, you are creating your own God, and you're replacing the one of the Bible. So you have to be sure that your God is the same one that is the God in the Word of God. So let's turn to the Word and find out who he is rather than creating our own. Because we don't want to be, you're basically, and I would be basically just worshiping an idol that I created, that this is my belief of who God is. We don't want to do that. We want to worship the one true God. And he's the one that will bring blessings and salvation. He's the one that has the eternal life. He's the one that instead of us getting the wages of sin, which is death and separation forever, he's got this big but in there that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And so we want not the judgment. All we have to do is listen to what he says and then do it. And God has eternal life for you and for me, and that's what we want. And that's the thing is, there's only two types of fantastic people in this world. Did you know that? There's only those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. My question to you, which one are you? Are you one that's already saved, or you are one that's about to be saved? And if you're about to be saved, and you can't say honestly from the depths of your heart that you absolutely know that you know that you know that you are saved, I ask you right now to say out loud with me and say these words with me. Say them out loud so you can hear them with your own ear. So repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. That's right. Just say, Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Boy, if you prayed that, what did you just say? Where's Jesus right now? If you say he's in your heart, you got it. But if you say anything else, then let's go over this again. I said, Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Well, that involves the Father forgiving our sins. It involves Jesus coming into our heart. It also really involves the Holy Spirit, because Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to you as well. And when he says, make me, when we say and declare to God, make me the kind of person you want me to be, well, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and it says in Scripture that what was the, one of the many of the purposes, one was to teach us. One was cause us to remember the things that he said. Another one was to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Well, I remember some sayings from various people, especially like Mahatma Gandhi, that he talked about that Jesus was the greatest person that ever lived. And I like, he liked Jesus. It's just the Christians I don't like. Well, what happened? The disconnect was that the Christians hadn't yet been made, had this thing taken to heart to change them, to make me the kind of person that you, God, want me to be. Well, what is that person? It's to be like Jesus. It is not that you could be a savior or anything, but you become an image of him that when people see you, they see the blessing and the gifting and the fruitfulness that it was in Jesus is also now starts to develop in you. It's not because you are trying to do that and change into that sort of person, even though that may be and would be your will for it to do it, but it's the Holy Spirit that would be inside of you that would cause that to begin to happen. And it would change you from glory to glory into his image. And that is the fulfillment of make me the kind of person you want me to be. That's right. It's Jesus Christ living big in you. Well, let's go on. We read here that by faith Noah divinely was warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay, righteousness or right standing with God is according to faith. Once again, we come back to that. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You see, this is a promise looking forward as far as Abraham. He was given this promise to possess that land. Well, it wasn't until, how could one person possess all land, because you can only live in the exact place that you are. But you see, it was promised to him and his seed that they would gather and be given that whole land. Well, he was also, we see this promise that not only to him, but he said, okay, you look upon all this land. All this land is I'm giving you. Now, when was this promise given? This is an interesting thing. You see, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and when he took off, even though he was told to leave his family and go to the land that he was promised, he went with his father, and then he also went with his nephew. Now, he went just a little ways. I don't know if it'd be 100 miles or how far, a couple hundred miles to Haran, and which was his dad's name, his father's name, and there stayed there until he died. The father did. But then he moved on and came down to the promised land. Well, God didn't talk to him then. It wasn't until Lot left, when this extra influence was there, that he brought along his nephew, and it wasn't until he left that God then spoke to him and started giving him promises and told him to look over all this land. So sometimes we have to try to look around in our life. And this is something that I need to do, and we all need to do, is look around in our life and say, okay, what things in our life perhaps we need to remove. So we're trying to hear God, and we're hearing Him limitedly, but maybe we would hear Him much fuller and more direct and more completely if we eliminated certain things in our life. So this might be a thing of the Holy Spirit dealing with you and with me, that, okay, that maybe we need to eliminate some things in our life, and let Lot separate from us, that there might not be, you see what was happening, there's contention between the herdsmen of both groups. And so they divided up, and it's after the division that that God then spoke to Abraham. So maybe we might take note of this at the beginning, right now, at the beginning of the new year, that maybe we need to separate from some things so we can hear. And you remember Jesus himself, he many times went away at night or through the night and would be in prayer during the night and at various times, and so he could hear what was being spoken by his Father. He wasn't around people all the time. He had to even get away from his own apostles and the disciples and sometimes hear what God had to say. Most of the time, he could clearly hear God as far as from this, from what to do this, where. But as far as sometimes there was this time of being away, okay, in choosing the 12 apostles as far as who to choose, and yet all the time knowing that one of them was going to be the one that betrayed him. And yet he knew that this was part of the plan that God had for the fulfillment of the salvation of countless, even millions and billions of people. And so he did that. So here we have seen faith working in Abraham's life and then Sarah's life. Now in verse 13 it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Okay, what was promised to Abraham? That all this land was going to be his and his seed. Well, you see, we think of also the first book in the Bible that was written was Job. And then there was, of course, Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy after that. But the first book was Job. And we think that, okay, what happened to him? What happened to him? He was a man that was blessed far more than anybody else in the earth. But he was, there was a an accuser of the brethren, who is Satan, that came, and at that time he had access to heaven. That was before he was, he could not have access anymore. Well, at that time, he came before God and said, "See this person? He's blessed. Yes. That God says, have you noticed Job, my servant?" And he says, "Yes, but he's only following you because you've blessed him so much." And so God said, "Okay, you can take those things away, but you spare his life." And that's exactly what happened. Well, what happened after that? It says after that period of time that he was blessed doubly, and he ended up having twice as many sheep, as twice as many cattle, twice as many donkeys, twice as many camels. And he had the same number of children. Well, you might think, oh, well, it should have been twice as many. Well, it was twice as many. Because even though the others died, they were already his, and they were promised to him, and that they would be with him in eternity. So it was that group of children, and then all the children after that. And he did have twice as many. They weren't on the earth at the same time, but you see like this promise here. It says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Well, he was did not have all 12, but he had, or all the children, but he had then had another set, and those that had died before were added to those, that when he died, he would have all together twice as many children as well, just as he had twice as many of everything, that all the animals that had been taken away. So it says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured them. They were assured. They knew that they were going to get them, even though they didn't see them physically with their minds, that with their physical eyes, that they saw them with their mind's eye and their spiritual eyes, that they, it was already theirs. Now, they didn't see it in this, in their natural life, but it was promised to them, and they know that that was their eternal inheritance. So they embraced that. It says that having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, let's hear that again. This is for us. This is for them, but it's also for those that have called upon, just as that Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. We call upon God, it's accounted for righteousness. That means right standing before God. And then the second part of that for our salvation, you see in Romans, we know that with confession, that there's a believing, and believing is counted for righteousness, and confession is counted for salvation. The two have to go together. We can't just believe, we have to confess. There has to be faith. Faith is a combination of believing and action. Well, the action part is what we do, and what we say is part of what we do. So faith is the believing, which is the brings the righteousness or right standing before God, and then the confession is the word of God declared openly, and that is counted for our salvation. And we all need salvation. Well, that is a gift of God, and we need to take the faith that he has given you, and you have received faith. When you were created and born, he gave to you a measure of faith. You are responsible to God for that measure of faith. You are to use that for right relationship with God. You have to believe in him, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that you seek after him, you are counted righteous then, and you accept his way of salvation, which is his son, who is equal with him. This is, we have to understand this. He is not somebody that is inferior. He is not a created being. He is not a God. He is God the Son, who also gets the same title as God the Father. He is received, we see in Scripture, that he is also called God the Father. In other words, he is equal with him. He is not identical to him, but in all purposes he is. But we see that he was actually separated only once in history from his Father, and that's when he was on the cross with our sins stuck on him. Your sin, every single sin of yours and mine was stuck on him, and he was declared guilty, and the death sentence was carried out against him, and his righteousness was stuck on us as long as we counted him as far as our Savior, and then we got his righteousness. That is the declaration of God Almighty. Don't try to figure it out with your mind. I mean, accept the truth of the Word of God, because in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ and in His blood and in the Word of God, there is salvation to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. Believe it, act on that, and let God in every area of your life. Okay, let's go on. Hallelujah. We praise God. So it says, these are all having died in faith, having not received the promises. They were counted as pilgrims on the earth. Well, let's go down to verse 14 and continue from there. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, this is a foreshadowing of what God the Father did. What happened with Abraham is, it was counted that this is his only son. It was the only one of promise that was through him and his wife Sarah. And so this was the only begotten son of his and theirs. And he was offering up, well, this God stopped that offering. He said, okay, and that this is totally counted as righteous before you, and it's going to be fulfilled in me and my son, that I'm going to offer up my only begotten son, Jesus Christ, for everybody. And so we see here, verse 8, as far as 17, 18, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he had become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Japheth, and also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted and were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Wow, that's the end of that chapter. But there's so much in there. Have read through the Old Testament, everything that they said there, they mentioned person after person after person who believed God. And as far as some people being dramatically delivered supernaturally, other people accepting torture and death, and to obtain a better resurrection. The ones that were received mocking, scourgings, and chains and imprisonment. Then we see this sawn in two. What happened to Isaiah the prophet? Well, we think of him as this great prophet that he was even of royalty and that he served six different kings. Well, the last one took him and put him in a log and sawed him in two and killed him that way. And here we're seeing a great man and women of faith. And it says, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So what promise was this? This was all these the promises of God that in that lifetime, that they did not receive all these promises of things to come. Well, that's because they're things to come. Now, they received many promises in their lifetime. They became valiant, and miracles, the Holy Spirit worked miracles through them, and battles were won, and one person killed over 800 at one time. And we see other times, as far as it says, when he got done killing all these soldiers, he could not turn loose of the sword. His hands had cleaved to the sword, and he could not turn loose of it. And what happened? Well, everybody else was fleeing. He had one field that was his inheritance. He grabbed hold of a sword. He fought, and for miraculous reasons, I'm sure that there was angels involved that tripped up other people and caused the miraculous deliverance. But when they counted the bodies, there was over 800 people that had died that day, and this one person was the one that was able to do it. Well, he wasn't able. Of course he wasn't. But we know that the Holy Spirit, in countless times throughout the Bible, did miracle after miracle. So it's not something that's possible. No, you can't explain that. It's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't explain the Red Sea opening up. In fact, it was really the Gulf of Aqaba, which is part of the Red Sea. It has two forks. It's the further one over, and the Red Sea, when we look at we think of Mount Sinai, well, it's not in Sinai. It's not Mount Sinai. It's actually a mountain in Arabia, just as the Bible says that it went to the mountain of the Lord where the promises were given, that it was in Arabia. And it declares that in the New Testament, that it's the same place that Elijah went and went into that hole in that mountain. So did Paul. It was the same mountain that Moses was at. That is crater there can easily hold 2 to 5, 6 million people, and it's the top of the mountain. And here, this open crater, that's where all those millions of people were, in Arabia, Saudi Arabia. And there was a place that's going across the Gulf of Aqaba. It's a remarkable place. They've found all these chariots, and it's at the base of the sea. And the thing is, there's only one period of history of about 20 to 40 years that they had three different kinds of chariots. And that was during the reign of when Moses came out with all the children of Israel, with the 2 million on up to 3 million or so. Some estimates are as high as 5 to 6 million, but figure at the small figure that the minimum of 2 million went across there. And it's 5,000 feet deep on either side, but this one place, it is only as far as about 800-900 feet deep, and it's a very gradual slope down, very gradual up, and that's where they found all these chariots and other armaments of warfare, and they're encrusted, and that there are 4-spoke chariots, 6-spoke chariots, and 8-spoke chariots, and this only happened one time in history, and it was during the time that Moses brought out the people of Israel that all 3 kinds of chariots were being used. And there was no other time in history that happened. And that's that area of 9-10 miles or whatever it is across, and that one area where it's shallow like that of only 800-900 feet, God, it's totally impossible for the water to be put back. But with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. That is the scripture. Those are 2 separate scriptures in the Word of God. And we need to not look to ourselves, not look to our understanding, but we need to look to God. And His Word is truth. And science finally catches up. This last 100 years, science has finally begun to catching up to the Bible in many ways. In many ways, it's still behind, but it's catching up. And it's a very exciting time with thousands and thousands of the scientists, not in the schoolrooms. The schoolrooms are still denying the truth. But the scientists behind the facts are beginning to catch up, and they're believing in God. They may not believe in the God of the Bible, but they certainly believe in the Creator, because they know that this was totally impossible in almost every area of science for anything else to be. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State, and it's been so wonderful to be with you today. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Now, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that there are hurting people all over the place. And Father, we know that those listening, we ask for your grace and your mercy in their life, that they openly declare and say, Father, forgive my sins. That they say to their God, that say, Jesus, come into my life. They say to him, make me the kind of person, God Almighty, that you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. May that be on your lips, and may his healing power be in your body, in your life, in your relationships, in every way. Hope to be with you again next week in Jesus' name. God bless you. This is Dr. Don Cowan. Bye-bye.